All right, Bible and Daily Lifers, here we are. We are finishing up a gospel. We are in chapter 28, the resurrection. The resurrection is the cornerstone of Christianity. It's what makes Christianity different than every other religion, every other system, every other philosophy. It's the resurrection. Certainly the death of Jesus is important, but it's his resurrection that is the cornerstone of Christianity, Jesus rising from the dead and then telling us that if we put our hope and trust in him, that we will rise with him. So this is the chapter 28, after Jesus was crucified. And let's start in chapter 27, actually verse 57. After he was crucified, it says, as evening approached, there came a man from Arimathea. His name was Joseph, who himself had become a disciple of Jesus. But going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and he placed it in his own tomb that he had cut out of a rock. And he rolled the big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away, and Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting opposite the tomb. So the ladies are there. The guys, they all scattered, but the ladies were there, and it says that they were sitting opposite when he was being crucified. This guy here, he's got a lot of money. He's got some prestige. He's got some access. He's able to go into Pilate and talk to Pilate and ask him for the body of Jesus. So Pilate's the governor over the region. So that would be similar to if you got on your cell phone right now and I'm in Connecticut, so that would be similar to if I got on the phone and called Governor Lamont and asked him for a favor, and he said, sure enough, go do it. So that's quite a bit of access that this guy has, and he's a follower of Jesus. It also says that, Nicodemus was involved with this. If you read in the other Gospels, I think it's in Luke, where it talks about Nicodemus, who had come to Jesus at night, probably because he didn't want to be seen. They were both sort of quiet, maybe secret followers until this point, and then they've just had it with the religious authorities, and Joseph puts him in his own tomb. You can go today to where this tomb is, and it's in the garden, just like it says, and it's an unfinished tomb. It still was only used by Jesus, and I always say this when I get to this passage. Joseph of Arimathea's family said, are you sure you want to give your tomb, your family tomb, to Jesus? And Joseph said, it's just for the weekend. So anyway, verse 62, the next day after the preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. Now they have access to Pilate too. Sir, they said, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver, Jesus is the deceiver, said, after 3 days, I'll rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples will come and they'll steal the body and tell the people he's been raised from the dead. The last deception will be worse than the first. And Pilate said, go and make the tomb as secure as you know how. So they went and they made the tomb secure by putting a seal on it and posting a stone and posting a guard. So they sealed it up. And after the Sabbath, at the dawn of the first day, Mary Magdalene and Mary went to look at the tomb, chapter 28. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord had come down from heaven, and going to the tomb, he rolled back the stone and sat on it. What a cool picture. The angel sitting up on the stone. His appearance was like lightning. His clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him, they shook and they became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, don't be afraid. Why did the angel say don't be afraid? Because they were afraid. He said, for I know who you're looking for, Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said, risen from the dead after 3 days. And he said, come and look and see the place where he lie. The angel, I said it was a he. I don't know, it's an angel. Angel, a he, a she, or a it, what is it? The angel. Come and see the place where he lay, and then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead and he's going ahead of you into Galilee. Well, Jesus said this is what he would do. When he was risen from the dead, he would go into the Galilee. And they said, there you will see him, and now I have told you. So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy. Wow! What kind of emotional experience is that? You're afraid and you're filled with joy. You're just overwhelmed with happiness, gladness, and you're afraid. So Jesus is probably the only one that can do this kind of stuff to us. And they ran to the disciples. And suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him and they clasped his feet and they worshiped him. And Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my disciples to go to the Galilee and you will see me there." Jesus is risen from the dead. He's going to go to the Galilee, and it's there that he's going to give these disciples this important announcement, this important commission. We call it the Great Commission. While the women were on their way, going to tell the disciples, presumably, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything had happened. Well, now they've got a dilemma. Now they've got a dilemma because they were supposed to be watching the tomb and Jesus is risen from the dead and the guards are scared to death and what a mess. What a joy. What a fear. What a joy. And when the chief priests had met with the elders, they devised a plan. Here's their brilliant plan. He gave the soldiers a large sum of money. And they said, "Listen, this is what you're to say. You're to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep." Now, this is the chief priests paying them off. These guys are going from bad to worse. You know, crucified Jesus, lied about him. Now they're paying these guys to lie. And you're to say the disciples, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, I'll satisfy him and we'll keep you out of trouble. So the soldiers took the money, they did as they were instructed, and this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. So it's not hard to figure out that this story is bogus. Oh, well, it's right there. You were to say his disciples came in the night and stole him away while we were asleep. So if they were asleep, how did they know they were the disciples? If they were asleep, how did they know how to tell a story? It's just a crazy story. It doesn't make any sense at all. Just trying to disprove the resurrection, trying to prove that Jesus did not rise from the dead. There's a guy, his name was Frank Morrison. He didn't believe that Jesus had risen from the dead, and he was a skeptic, and he was going to go about and prove that the resurrection story was just an absurdity. And he ended up becoming a believer. There's a great book. I think you can find it online. I think you can download the PDF now. It's called Who Moved the Stone? And it has all the theories that people have used to say that Jesus didn't resurrect from the dead. So see if you can find it online for free, PDF, Frank Morrison, Who Moved the Stone? Then, verse 16, the 11 went to the Galilee, just like they were supposed to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when he saw them, they worshipped, but some doubted. I like that they included that some doubted. They were like, "What in the world is going on?" And then Jesus came to them and he said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, because of that, go and make disciples of all nations, all ethnos, all people groups, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." This is the commission of believers. The church is more than one believer. You have one believer, you have two believers, you have a church. Jesus said, "Wherever two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst." And you're just gathering his name. So being gathered in his name, we go out and we share this to the whole globe. It's amazing that to these disciples, he told them that this would be a global work. They were supposed to go to every nation, every people group. Well, in the book of Revelation, it says in Revelation 5:9 that before the throne, it said people from every tribe, every tongue, every language, every people, every nation. They're all there praising before the throne. And so this thing that started small and with this little command that Jesus gave turns global, goes to the whole planet. And it's the commission that we still have, that to teach them to obey everything I commanded you, which is important. We tried to go through every line of Matthew. There were some chapters that were just a little bit too long for us to do in our 10 to 12 minutes that we try to keep it. But looking at everything that he has said and everything that he has commanded, let's read it, let's understand it, let's do it, let's win the world for Jesus. So there we are. We finished this gospel, the gospel of Matthew, and we're going to go on to Mark. And we're going to see that Mark has a completely, not a completely different view, but he's speaking to a different audience, and he adds some things, and he has his way of doing it. So we'll be in Mark's gospel. So Bible and Daily Life, hope to see you again soon. Love you guys. Peace. Blessings.